Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And I'm going to take a slightly different tack this week. I'm still doing an interview, yes I am, but I'm going to do it more targeted on something I think will help you further as we traverse this pandemic, or how we deal with the coronavirus situation, having to work from home and the many stressors that is bringing to us from career, from life, etc. So this week, my guest is Makeda McKenzie. She is the CEO of the Caribbean Mindfulness Institute based in Trinidad and Tobago. So hi, Makeda, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, before we get into it, and I'll probably ask you how you got into mindfulness, can you explain to the listeners what exactly is mindfulness?
Yeah. So, you know, mindfulness has been all over the news and the media and social media. So I'm sure you may have come across the word. And certainly, I think after this talk, now that you're more familiar with it, it's going to show up even more and more in your consciousness, because it really is quite a popular practice. So mindfulness, I think the best working definition is staying connected to the present moment with a sense of non-judgmental awareness. Okay. So, I mean, that sounds really lofty.
It sounds woo-woo.
It sounds woo-woo. But really what it means is connecting your mind and body to the present moment while you're in the present moment.
Okay.
So if you think about it, when you're washing the dishes, are you really washing the dishes, or are you thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner, or maybe having to do school? Right. So you're not really there. Or when you're having a shower, are you really in the shower, or you're thinking about the email that you have to send, or maybe you're rehashing an argument or a conversation you had before and thinking you had, you know, handled it differently? So for many, many, many of us, the majority of us, we find it very difficult to stay connected to the present moment.
Yeah.
The average human being has about 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. So, you know, it's mindfulness training is about training our attention to pay attention to what we wanted to pay attention to, rather than getting caught up into thoughts of the past or thoughts of the future.
Okay. So is it like sometimes when I'm doing, I'm just getting into my yoga practice and you really focus on your breathing, or you just, they tell you to empty your mind or clear your mind. Is it something like that?
Yeah. So mindfulness is not about clearing the mind, because that's impossible, right?
Okay.
The only persons who don't have thoughts are people who are dead and people who are unconscious.
Okay.
So it is setting yourself up to be frustrated if you go into a mindfulness practice saying, I'm going to clear my mind. That's not what we're trying to do.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is pay attention to when our mind wanders, noticing when our mind wanders and bringing back our attention to our point of focus.
Okay.
Usually it's the breath, or it could be bodily sensations, or it could be sounds. It could be some neutral object. The object that we choose is not as important. What's important is noticing when our mind wanders and gently guiding our attention back to our object of focus. And when I say gently, it's not about berating yourself. Oh my gosh, I can't even meditate. My mind has wandered. Look at me. I can't do this in 1 minute. So it's about bringing a gentle attitude of self-compassion, knowing that your mind is going to wander, and gently bringing it back to your object of focus.
Okay. So what's the benefit of practicing mindfulness?
Yeah. So there's so many benefits of mindfulness practice. Personally for me, so how I got into mindfulness, I struggled for quite a bit, I would say for about 10 years, with depression and anxiety. And I was actually diagnosed at one point with chronic depression and chronic anxiety. And I remember really resisting that diagnosis because I thought it was a matter of willpower. I just need to exercise more. I just need to pray more. I just need to read more self-help books. You know, I really thought it was something that I could control that way and manage that way. And it wasn't until I reached rock bottom and I really thought my sanity was in jeopardy that a little voice whispered, and I say it's a little voice, but I really feel it was divine intervention, whispered to me, meditation.
Right.
At that point, I didn't know anybody who meditated. You know, it wasn't on my radar at all. Nobody in my family meditated. You know, nobody told me about meditation. But I was so desperate for some kind of relief. By that point, I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And I stumbled upon a meditation class. It wasn't a mindfulness class, but it was helpful. Some of the practices in the class, however, didn't really jibe and resonate with me. Okay. They had some chantings, you know, you had to sit in a particular way, hold your hands in a particular way. I really wasn't into all of that stuff. So when I started to do research, more research into meditation, I came across mindfulness meditation.
Okay.
And that's how I began to understand that it's offered in hospitals, clinics, wow, workplaces, schools all over the world. Some insurance companies even allow you to claim for classes on your insurance.
Wow. Okay.
Preventative healthcare. It's a big thing. It's actually a $1 billion industry in the States. So my mind was blown. Now, I really love science and facts and data. I mean, my degrees in economics and management. And that's what really drew me to the practice of mindfulness, all of the neuroscientific research and studies in support of the practice. And when I began to read up on these studies and read up on the benefits, I realized that what I experienced personally wasn't a mind over matter effect. Yeah. It was real, right? So mindfulness works on, and consistent mindfulness practice, I should say, works on the shape and structure of the brain. So you can literally grow the parts of your brain that's responsible for emotional regulation, compassion, decision-making, concentration. You can grow that part of the brain. And you can shrink the part of the brain that's responsible for stress reactivity.
Okay.
So when I started to meditate and I started to feel my symptoms of chronic stress ease, my symptoms of depression ease, my symptoms of anxiety ease, it wasn't because I was, it wasn't because of a placebo effect. It's really because my mind and my brain were strengthened to give me these benefits.
Okay, okay. So why is it useful to practice mindfulness in the current climate?
Yeah, well, like mindfulness is a life skill, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, they teach it in schools all over the world, because if it's one thing for certain we're going to have in life, it's stress, right? I think death is certain, taxes is certain, and we can also add stress is certain. So we're going to need to learn coping skills, and unfortunately, we're not all taught coping skills.
Right.
You know, if we're lucky, you know, we grew up in a household where our parents might share with us some of their coping skills. Hopefully there are good coping skills and not negative coping skills like drinking and alcohol and drugs, okay, you know, right? So there are different coping skills and we're not taught coping skills. So number one, mindfulness is a life skill because we're always going to have stress in our life. And it's a way for us to keep balanced, to keep connected, keep centered, and better handle the stresses that life comes to us. Okay. It teaches us, it gives us that benefit on a neurological level because of how it works on the brain. And also through the practice of mindfulness meditation, we start to cultivate those attitudes more in everyday life. Okay. So, I mean, it's just a general life skill.
Sorry.
Okay, well, I was going to say, with the pandemic, it's even more necessary now, because in addition to all the stress that we had in our lives before, and that chronic stress could be, you know, a commute or a tough working situation, or maybe a relationship that's not going your way, or maybe you have a child that's giving you trouble, or you are, you know, going through some challenges in your career, whatever your stressor may be. In addition to all of that already existed, is now compounded by challenging emotions such as fear, uncertainty, anger, sadness, all brought on by this coronavirus pandemic. So okay. Now more than ever, we need to keep our wits about us because we have even more challenges coming at us. And it seems, I mean, I don't know about your listeners, but certainly in Trinidad, where I'm based, it seems like every day is something new to deal with. So in addition to the pandemic, there's some new regulation, there's now some new stipulation, you know, so there's just so much. So it's really important now for us to keep our wits about us because number one, we're being more stressed than ever. And number two, our lives depend on the decisions we make in this moment, right? Are we going to be in denial about our reality and just go out without a mask and not wash our hands and expose ourselves and our families to the virus? You know, are we going to become so overwhelmed by the information that we just forced to enact and we just stay in bed all day? Mm. So now more than ever, we need to keep our wits about us. And that's why mindfulness is especially helpful now.
Fabulous, fabulous. So I'm liking what I'm hearing, but how do I start? What's a simple way for me to start mindfulness, practicing mindfulness?
Yeah. So mindfulness practice has two components. The formal component is the practice of mindfulness meditation. And that's where, you know, you sit in a quiet place for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, wherever long you can manage, and train your attention to pay attention to what you want it to pay attention to.
Right.
So choose your breath. And the breath is usually the easiest to go to because our breath is always with us.
Right.
And the breath is neutral. So you can really, if you, you know, are proficient in meditation, you can meditate literally anywhere because your breath is with you anywhere. So the formal practice of meditation is where you sit and you start to pay attention to the sensations that come with each breath in and each breath out. Noticing when your mind wanders and gently guiding your attention back to your breath over and over and over again for the 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. So you can think of it as mental reps.
Okay.
Now, when you sit in formal meditation, it may seem like not much is happening, but you're really strengthening some important muscles. Number one, you're strengthening your capacity to pay attention to the present moment because your breath can only pay attention to the present moment. And number two, you're cultivating some attitudes that you're more likely to show and demonstrate when you're not practicing. So attitudes like non-judgment. When you pay attention to the breath and you're not wishing the breath was like the last breath, or you're not getting down on yourself when your mind wanders, you're practicing not judging yourself. When you sit down for 5 minutes when you would rather be watching Netflix or on Instagram, right? You're practicing patience and you're strengthening that muscle. When you look at each breath and you try to explore each breath as a new breath, as a fresh breath, as a breath that is only here in this moment, you're cultivating something called beginner's mind, a sense of curiosity. So all of these attitudes that you're practicing in meditation, because you are strengthening those muscles, those cognitive muscles, when you're not meditating, you find that you're less judgmental, you're more patient, you have a fresher perspective to problems, you're not just reacting in the same old conditioned way. So it's really helpful in helping you move through your day feeling more balanced and at ease.
Okay.
So mindfulness meditation is the foundation and the mainstay of mindfulness practice.
Right.
And there are ways that you can augment and supplement this formal practice throughout your day. So I spoke before about washing your dishes and not really being in the moment.
Yes.
You can make washing the dishes into a mindfulness practice. When you're washing the dishes, noticing the temperature of the water on your skin, noticing the smell of the dishwashing liquid as it wafts up, feeling the suds form in your hand, feeling the weight and the texture of the plate with the glass in your hand. So really putting your whole attention for those 5 or 10 minutes that you're washing the dishes into that activity, noticing when your mind strays and bringing it back to washing the dishes.
Excellent.
So that's in a home environment. When you're at work, you can informally practice mindfulness. You can take a few moments when you're waiting for the kettle to boil to just notice your breath as it moves in and out. When you're waiting for the elevator, you can do a body scan and just mentally scan through your body and relax all the places that you may be holding tension, because we may not realize it, but when we're really stressed, we hold a lot of tension in our shoulders and our back. And before you know it, you're walking around the whole day feeling really tight.
Right, right.
So there are formal practices to support the attitude of mindfulness, which is mindful meditation. And then there are informal practices. So taking everyday activities and putting your whole attention on it with a sense of as far as possible, being non-judgmental about what you're experiencing, just noticing what you're experiencing in the present moment.
Okay, okay, okay. And how long is it before I notice a difference?
Yeah, so there's a popular MRI graphic that, you know, that you could find online that shows the brain before and after a 10-minute meditation session. And it's really, really impactful to see, because before the meditation, you see all the areas of the brain really light up, and they do that via MRI. They're able to get this image via MRI. They show the brain really activated, right? All the centers of the brain. And then after the meditation, the brain, you know, all the colors are dimmed. The brain looks really calm, right? It's not as lit up and activated. So really in as little as 10 minutes, you can feel a difference. Definitely, wow. At least if you want to start, I would recommend 10 minutes. If you can't manage 10 minutes, start with 3 and work your way up, eventually aiming, I would say, for about 20 minutes a day.
Okay.
Right. But a little as 10 minutes. And let me tell you, when you're meditating and when you're a first time meditator, 10 minutes feels like 10 hours.
A long time. Yes.
Because we're not used to being, we come from a culture where we really put doing as a premium.
Yeah.
So we're not used to just being for 10 minutes. So those 10 minutes are going to seem like an eternity when you just start. And certainly when you get more experience in meditation, 10 minutes is not going to be enough, because you feel so, it's so enjoyable. It's like, why would you do something that you like for only 10 minutes? Right. But when you're starting, it's going to seem like a trial. I know that. We're used to being on our phones and being really engaged and doing. And when in that 10 minutes, you're going to remember 10,000 things that you should be doing at this time. That's all going to happen. That's all part of the course. But set yourself an objective for the week to try at least 3 days, 10 minutes a day. Just for the first week.
That doesn't
sound too bad. And then the next week, try for 4 days. And then the next week, try for 5 days. Right? Because we're trying to build up. We don't, you know, a lot of people, when they start the gym, they start all hot and sweaty. Mm. And within 2 or 3 weeks, that's it, right?
Yes, or fades out.
Right. Well, the enthusiasm, you know, wanes. So we really want to build it up gradually and build up our tolerance for it gradually, and build up our ability to really be with the practice and be consistent with the practice.
Right.
So if you start off, you know, all enthusiastic, I've heard about mindfulness, I've heard about all the science, you know, I'm seeing all these programs about it, I'm going to sit down for an hour, and then you can't make it for the hour, right? Or you find that, you know, it's not what you expected in that hour, you're not really going to be motivated to try it the next day or the day after that. So give yourself as many opportunities to succeed as possible. Start small and start consistently.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Now, my last question around this before we wrap up, Makeda. Some of my listeners will have families, children. Obviously, apart from trying to find 10 minutes that, you know, a peaceful place, how can I involve the rest of the family in a mindfulness practice?
Yeah. Well, I think the worst thing anybody could do, it would be to try to force people in their lives to meditate.
Okay. Right?
I think the best way to encourage your loved ones to meditate is for you to have a consistent practice going yourself.
Okay.
And when you start to embody the attitudes of patience, of non-judgment, of more compassion, of more acceptance, you're really going to inspire people to say, I want some of what she has.
Right.
And I see it all the time in my classes. You know, I have somebody come into my class, and then the next time I have a class, them and their husband comes, or they bring their sister, because the people in their lives have seen a change in them, and they want to try it themselves.
Right.
I know certainly in my personal life, you know, I am so different to how I used to be. And it's through the practice of mindfulness, and people comment on that all the time, that I'm so different now. So when you get when you're consistent with your practice, it's easy for you to embody the attitudes of mindfulness. And this embodiment is what's going to draw your family members to the practice. So I wouldn't say, okay, come everybody, we want to meditate now for 15 minutes, because people are not going to be into it. Nobody likes to be forced into it. I think if you have young children, there are different activities that are geared towards children, like coloring, or maybe looking at flowers. So it's more of the informal practice.
Okay.
So certainly if you want to incorporate it that way, you know, you have more control over children than you do adults, you know, so that it might be, you can make it into an activity that way. But really the first step is to get a good practice of your own going.
Okay. And so if people want to find out more about what you do, Makeda, or mindfulness in general, how can they connect with you or find out more information?
Yeah, so I'm on all popular social media platforms. So you can look for the Caribbean Mindfulness Institute on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And I'm really proficient with my posting, because I want to share as much as I can about how people can incorporate mindfulness into their everyday life. And there's so much information out there, so much good information out there that I stumbled upon early in the game that nobody was really sharing locally. Nice. So, you know, that's my mission now, really, to bring more awareness to the practice, because it made such a huge difference in my life. And I've seen it make a huge difference in the lives of my students and my clients, and then their relationships.
Okay.
So certainly you can look for me on social media. I also have a website, which you can find at www.caribbeanmbsr.com. And I post on my blog there pretty frequently as well, where I share tips. And then I have my classes. My mainstay is really corporate mindfulness.
Right.
So going into workplaces and teaching employees how they can practice mindfulness at work to better manage their stress, improve their performance, improve their concentration and focus, reduce accidents. So that is my mainstay. But I do also offer public workshops. And because of the virus, I've moved all my workshops online. I mean, I've always offered workshops online anyway, but now all of them are online.
Yes, yes.
So certainly anybody from anywhere in the world could take part if they would like to. And all of these workshops are advertised on my social media and on my website as well.
Fantastic. So Makeda, thank you so much for sharing. I'm definitely more enlightened about mindfulness, and I'm sure our listeners are. So thank you for your time this week.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I could talk about this all day. It really is such a great, it's like ice cream. It's like the best thing ever.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Definitely worth a try. You're welcome.
Thank you. We reached the end of another episode of This Woman Can, and I hope you found it informative and enjoyed it as much as I did. I certainly learned a little bit more, or a lot more, should I say, about the practice of mindfulness, and it'll be certainly something I'll be incorporating into what I do every day. So if you want more tips like this, if you want to have more advice, more support, more guidance, then don't forget to head over to the This Woman Can community. You can join by going to www.thiswomancan.coach. It's the place where you can connect with like-minded women. You can ask your questions, you can receive free career advice. As I said, you can connect with growth-minded women just like you. So don't forget, head over to thiswomancan.coach, and I really look forward to seeing you then. Oh, and just one more favour. If you've loved this episode of This Woman can I ask that you head over to iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you listen to the show to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. That's how I get the word out. That's how we move up the rankings, and it'd be very much appreciated. So thank you in advance. So that's the end of this week's episode. As I said, don't forget to join the community. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Until next time, take care.
Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.com. thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.